Welcome to Lockdown Trivia, the Unlock Your Brain podcast quiz show. My name is Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host as we choose four expert categories of our players and explore them together as we try to unlock this trivia game one key at a time. This week's episode features Jane Hansen from just north of Brisbane in Australia. Her expert categories are the Veronica Mars TV show, Australian animals, Queensland geography, and Harry Bosch books. Sign up for your own episode of Lockdown Trivia following the link in the description of each and every episode. You can play by yourself or bring a friend for a competitive or cooperative game. Now let's get started. Jane, I'm glad you're here. My second visitor from Australia, and the first one was wonderful. I imagine the second one will be even better. And so where would you like to start your lockdown game?
I will start with Queensland geography.
And I know to say Queensland and not Queensland, like my countrymen would.
Yes.
Queensland geography will be our first question. And your unlocked question in Queensland geography is this. Which UNESCO World Heritage Site that stretches over 2,000 kilometers along the coast of Queensland was added to the Heritage Register in 1981?
That would be the Great Barrier Reef.
It would. That's about as easy a Queensland geography question as you can get, I imagine. And the Great Barrier Reef is correct. One of my favorite things as a kid, I was a big like nature TV show person, and I love coral reefs because of the Great Barrier Reef. So who's poking you with a small hand? That's what I want to know.
That would be my lovely husband.
For those listening, that was, when I say small hand, I mean like very tiny hand entered from the side of the screen and poked Jane. Jane, you have one key in your pocket.
Oh, God. I will go one key, Queensland geography.
Let's see what it has in store for us. Your next question is this. The sugarcane farms surrounding which Queensland city sustained both a soft drink factory known for its ginger beer and Australia's biggest rum distillery?
Bundaberg.
Bundaberg is correct. And it got added to my list. Is it really?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that a hot take or a popular take there?
I would say probably both. Yes.
If someone doesn't think Bundaberg's the best, what do they say is the best?
Australian, so the next one along probably would be Beenleigh Rum, just another Queensland distillery. So.
Fair enough. I do, at this point, need to shout out. The Queensland geography was entirely written by Caleb Grayman. I feel very strong about animals and was totally good on that one. But geography questions, I was like, dude, I don't know what y'all know about your own place. And so we workshopped this. So shout out to Caleb for helping with this one. And Jane, you have two keys. Where to next?
We will go to two keys, Queensland geography.
It's doing well so far. Let's see what the two key question has in store. Located 8 kilometers off the coast of Townsville, which mountainous island was given its name by Captain James Cook because he observed, quote, the compass did not traverse well when near it?
So that one is pretty easy for me. I'm actually on my way to Townsville this week again, for my son's football carnival, and that would be Magnetic Island.
Yeah, that was one that I thought I actually guessed correctly when reading it, but simply for the fact that what else would it be? It makes the compasses mess up. Magnetic Island is correct. Is it actually magnetic? What's the is there more to that?
I don't actually know. It's just a mountainous rainforest island. So yeah.
Cool. You've got three keys, Jane. Are we going to keep going with the category?
Yep. Let's keep going with geography.
Your three key Queensland geography question is this. Opened in August of 2024, the bridge connecting South Bank to Queen's Wharf in the Brisbane CBD is named after which historical figure, the first ever Indigenous Australian elected to government?
Okay. I do know the answer to this. If I can just get my brain to remember it. Oh, my Lord. So we had someone come in. They wrote a book about him. And we did a little book launch at the library just before the bridge was opened. So shout out to Sean Jacobs, who wrote that book. And I'm trying to remember the name of the person. Oh, damn you, Caleb. Oh, I should know this, seeing that, you know, I'm not that far from Brisbane proper. Oh, no, I'm going to have to take the hit here. It's not coming to me.
All right. The first ever Indigenous Australian elected to government was Neville Bonner.
Oh my God. Yes, I knew that.
Neville Bonner, first miss.
Yep. Cool.
And unfortunately, so yeah, Jane, I will have to take your keys.
Great book written by Sean Jacobs, if anyone wants to read it. So
shout out to the book that you had said you had a whole book signing for it and everything.
Yes, yeah, yeah. We did a book launch and a Q&A with the author and all of that. Yeah.
Right, that one's going to hurt later.
It does.
All right, Jane, I do have to take your keys away, unfortunately. However, you have plenty of places to play. Where would you like to go to next?
Okay, I will try Harry Bosch.
All right, Harry Bosch books. And this was a fun category for me because I knew literally nothing about this topic. I didn't even know the books existed. That's how little I knew about this. And by the end of it, I was all in. So here is your unlocked Harry Bosch question. Bosch is referred to as a tunnel rat because of his service in what war, adding to his emotional depth and sense of justice?
So this one really annoyed me when they made the TV show because they changed it. However, he was a tunnel rat in Vietnam, in the Vietnam War.
That is correct. Vietnam and one key back in your pocket. Where to?
Awesome. We'll go one key, Harry Bosch.
Let's see how this one treats us. Your one key Harry Bosch question is this. Harry is short for what name, since the character is named after a real-life 15th century Dutch painter known for dark, surreal, and chaotic energy?
Yes, I only learned about him after reading these books, and that would be Hieronymus Bosch.
Hieronymus Bosch is correct. That is a $5 name, if I say so myself.
Absolutely.
And two keys, not worth $5, but good in any case. You want to keep rolling here?
Yep, let's keep going.
I see you have the strategy I have. I'm here for it. Your two key Harry Bosch question is this. Bosch's personal mantra is what ultimatum phrase instilled in him by his mother's unsolved murder, explaining why he treats each victim's situation equally?
Oh, hopefully I've got the words right. Definitely got the sentiment right, but whether it's the right words. Everyone matters or no one matters.
I'm going to give it to you, Jane. I've got everybody counts or nobody counts. I think anybody within reason will know that you got that question right. And three keys are back in your pocket. That might be one of those lost in translation moments. Who knows?
Yes. Well,
you have gone 3 for 3 in Harry Bosch. Let's hope that it goes better than it did at this point in Queensland geography.
Yes.
Your three key Harry Bosch question is this. The Black Echo won what award named after another prolific author in 1992 for Best First Novel, immediately putting Connolly on the scene as a major voice in crime fiction?
So, I know he won a few daggers, but it's not a dagger. What did he lost? First one for? I'm going to take a guess on this one. If I'm talking crime writers and awards. Oh, and I've got the wrong one. What's the right one? Just going to say that it was a golden dagger.
Unfortunately, this round's going to go the same way the first one did, Jane. This was an Edgar Award.
Ah.
Named after Edgar Allan Poe.
Allan Poe. And I, got that. And then I was like, no, it's not that because that's horror. But yes, okay.
Yep, he did win that. And so, unfortunately, I will have to take your keys again. But all things considered, only two questions on this whole board have been missed so far. It's going okay so far. Where to next?
Let me see. All right, I'm going to try Aussie animals. I'm going to save Veronica Mars for last because it's my favorite category and I'm hopeful that I'll do well at it.
Oh, God. I hope I don't disappoint. But we'll get to Aussie animals first. With one of my favorite trivia questions of all time is your unlocked question, because it is definitely unlocked for an Australian person. But oh my God, Americans think this is funny. Here is your unlocked question. A 1935 newspaper article said machine guns, quote, proved effective and saved what remained of the wheat. From what bird, the enemy of the Australian army in the early 1930s?
This would be the emu.
That is correct. The only government in the world to lose a war to a bird, the Great Emu War. Oh, my God. The more you read that Wikipedia page, the funnier it gets. I got halfway through the page and I knew I was going to write the question, but just out of curiosity, kept scrolling. And that's where I found the machine guns proved effective quote. And I was like, that's awesome. Aussie Animals gives you one key again. You want to keep rolling?
Yep. Let's keep rolling.
Let's do it. Your one key Aussie Animals question is this. The platypus and four species of echidna make up what group of mammals whose name literally means single opening?
So they would be monotremes.
Monotremes is correct. And I encourage anyone who likes animals to go research monotremes, because whatever you think you know about them, no, you do not. They are absolutely very bizarre. Two keys, Jane. You want to keep it going?
Yeah, let's keep going.
All right, your two key Aussie Animals question is this. A golden retriever puppy whose name is actually Muffin goes by a name he thinks is more intimidating and encounters many different Aussie species in what 1995 movie?
Whoa, this one might have me. 1995, so I grew up in the country and we were a little bit behind everyone else. So if it was released in 1995, we probably didn't see it till like 1998. So it was the States, because that was when it would have eventually made it to us on little, we used to get VHS deliveries to the farm where I grew up. They used to come out and do like movie store exchanges. I'm trying to think of a movie where the main character is a dog that is also the name of the movie. And I feel like it's Tickling Something, but oh man. I'm going to go with the dinosaur. No idea.
He goes by the name of a conqueror because he wants to be tougher. The movie is called Napoleon.
Oh, okay. Yep, rightio. That is ringing a very faint bell. Maybe I did see that on VHS.
It's a super cute movie. And the frill-necked lizard scene sticks out in my brain. Yeah, but he lives in, I think, Sydney. And what happens is he gets in a hot air balloon on accident and it takes him over into the country and he has to try to get home.
So, alrighty, cool. I might have to look that one up and watch it.
It's a great kids movie. However, it wasn't great for your keys, Jane.
No,
I have to take them away again. We still get to go to your favorite category next, if that's what you want to do.
Well, I'm just torn now. Do I do that, or do I try the bonus keys to try and get back to finish off one of these other categories? I'm going to try Who in the World.
All right, a bonus key, Who in the World. If you get this right, you'll get a key. If you get it wrong, it won't hurt you. And this clue, I'm going to tell you the real name of a person, something about them, and some context, and you'll try to identify their more popular stage name. Here is your hint. This actor born Alfonso D'Abruzzo was born in 1936 and is still alive and is known for his roles on MASH and West Wing, among many other TV shows and movies.
I have confession, and that is I've not seen the West Wing. And I know it's really popular. One day I'm going to watch it. So I'm not sure that this person was on the West Wing. However, Alfonso, Al, I'm going to guess Alan Alda.
Yeah, that's all you needed to do. It's Alan Alda. That is correct.
Awesome.
You got your Who in the World bonus key, and that will give you one key. Now I'm curious where you're going to go next with your strategy.
I think I'm going to stick with these bonus keys for a minute. I'm going to try... I don't want to rely on it later, so I'm going to try before and after now, because I usually suck at those. So
that breaks my heart, Jane. I love before and after. Your before and after, though.
I'm just not good at them.
It's going to be pretty close to home, because it's also going to be in line with your favorite music genre. Mm-hmm. So here is your before and after clue. A 2015 Thomas Rhett song that was covered by Nelly in 2016, plus a 1999 Shania Twain song covered by Sabrina Carpenter at her live concerts.
So the first half of the question is the before and the second half is the after?
Correct.
Oh, man. What's the 2015 song? I feel like, I think the second half is going to be Come On Over. So, got to work out the first half, which is Must Rip by Nelly. See, and I'm crap at new stuff, except for the odd year. Like 2009, 2014, I'm okay at. Those are the years my kids were born. And
I was going to say, were you just really bored during those years?
Yep, pretty much. I had time on my hands, slash also listened to a lot of radio. And and Billboard lists and stuff in those years. I want to come on over.
It's not that, unfortunately.
Oh,
the correct answer to this before and after is Die a Happy Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Of course it is. My God. Damn it.
And I encourage
you. I still wasn't getting the first half.
That's fair. That makes me feel a little better. I encourage you to go look up when we're done Sabrina Carpenter, Man, I Feel Like a Woman. She covers it very well at her concerts, and she always does it. So she's doing Espresso and then following up with Shania Twain. Hey, the good news, Jane, is bonus questions can't hurt you. So you still have one key. Where would you like to go next?
Well, I am glad I got that one out of the way. I feel like that's my worst one. But I think I'm going to head over and try the Unlocked Veronica Mars.
All right. With one key in your pocket, it's time to head to Veronica Mars. Here is your first question in the category. Originating from a line in the pilot, Veronica Mars fans have adopted what nickname based on a component of a campfire treat?
That it would be a marshmallow.
Marshmallows. And Jane Hansen is one of those. That
yep,
is correct.
Absolutely.
And you now have two keys in your pocket. Where to?
Adio. Let's go one key, Veronica Mars.
All right. Your one key Veronica Mars question is this. Rob Thomas said that what actress gave, quote, the best dead girl performance he'd ever seen, eventually writing her into the script more than originally planned?
I'm assuming this goes back to season one. Her best friend, Lily, who was played by Amanda Seyfried.
Amanda Seyfried is correct. And apparently all you got to do is look dead convincingly to end up on more episodes of Veronica Mars. You now have three keys and a choice.
Oh, okay. I think I'm going to try the three key Aussie animals.
Back to Aussie animals. This is where my bread and butter in your game is, so I hope you do well. Your three key question is this. With a name derived from the shortened name of a South American lizard, what Australian lizard is featured prominently in Aboriginal mythology and Australian folklore?
It's a few things that feature prominently in Australian folklore and Aboriginal culture.
You got, y'all got a lot of lizards.
We do got a lot of lizards. That's the problem. That's the problem. And, I'm thinking, so, when you're talking, the Dreamtime and stuff like that, there's the Rainbow Serpent and Tiddalik the Frog and things like that. And I'm just trying to make a connection. And then you've got classic, trying to make a connection to South American lizards as well. See if I can. So if we wanted to name lizards, we've got frill necks, we've got bearded dragons, we've got water dragons, we've got what else is there? I'm going to throw out there. See, oh my God, that describes them, not the name derived from them. And that is African, not South American, I don't think. Goanna.
Oh my goodness, where did you pull that from?
Out of the recesses of my brain that were like struggling then.
You are correct.
Oh my God.
Yes, the South American lizard that it's derived from is the iguana.
Oh my God. Okay, I did not know that. And mm-hmm. I still didn't have that connection. It was just that goanna finally came to me as a word that is not,
not very Australian cool. word.
Yes.
Yes, goanna is correct, Jane. I'm very happy for you. And for the first time in your game, you have four keys in your pocket. So the world is your oyster. Which of these questions do you want?
Okay, I'm scared of Caleb, so I'm going to stay away from the geography for a minute. I am going to try the four-key Harry Bosch.
All right, your hypothetically hardest Harry Bosch question is this. A Bosch spinoff on Amazon Prime TV airing from 2022 to present shares its subtitle with what Disney-owned sci-fi movie that came out in 2010?
Spinoff, Amazon. So I'm assuming that this is Bosch Legacy. So what would be the Disney sci-fi? The first half of this is, the second half of this is going to kill me. So Disney sci-fi, Star Wars. So I'm thinking it's a Star Wars Legacy. Oh man, I'm terrible at sci-fi stuff. Full stop. I can't think. What is that? A New Hope? whatever it was, name it. I'm going to guess Star Wars A New Hope in the subtitle Legacy.
You were correct that it's Bosch Legacy. And the 2010 Disney-owned movie is Tron Legacy.
Oh, yeah. Haven't seen it.
Tron is the correct answer. A little mean to give you a tangential Harry Bosch question on your four key questions.
I was expecting some tangential ones. Yeah, so,
it's kind of got to show up.
That's fair.
Jane, you have lost your keys again, but it's now the bonus question game. If we can get at least two of these three bonus questions, we can get back into your Veronica Mars category, and who knows what from there. So, which bonus question would you like to go to first?
Let's try Stormy Trivia.
Stormy Trivia. This question, courtesy of Scott Brill, a fellow librarian, and I asked him what his favorite library trivia question was, and this popped up. It was a great one. So here is your question. Perhaps fittingly, what book is on top of the list for most stolen book from public libraries, even narrowly topping the Bible on such a list?
Ooh, man, I think I know this, but where is it in my brain? Man, I'm thinking it's a nonfiction book. It's something that most libraries or a lot of libraries carry. I mean, books are free at the library. They don't cost you anything. You don't need to steal them. I've definitely heard this question before. I know that I know the answer to this. And when I hear it, I'm going to know that's the answer to it. And, oh, man, it's like on the tip of my brain, like on the very edge. And I just can't quite reach it, grab it. And this is where it's really good when you play trivia and you have other teammates who say stuff. And then
to
I
help
go,
trigger
oh, yeah.
those things. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I am that person on the team. I'm our scribe. So I am the person that knows my teammates and knows what to say to each one to get their brains going on something.
Yeah, I totally
get it.
And yes, and this one, oh man, I definitely know the answer to this. I've definitely heard this before and the clue makes sense. I just can't grab that little thread. It's just eluding me. The Dressmaker's Bible.
What better book to be on top of a record than the Guinness Book of World
Records?
Oh my
God, I've definitely heard that before.
That is the correct answer.
That is a very stolen book. And oh my God, I should have known that because do you know how many times I've looked for that missing book?
Fair enough. Jane, unfortunately, we didn't get our Stormy Trivia. And that means to get back into our expert categories, we've got to get both our Billboard Buster and our National Blank Day. Which one do you want to go after first?
We'll try the National Blank Day.
As of release today, today is National Professional House Cleaners Day. So here is a question about that. God, this is out of nowhere, isn't it? Here we go. With a helpful name suggesting it is used for nightlife cleaning, what bleach-free cleaner has been around for more than 100 years, used to remove stains from almost any surface?
And I'm assuming this is something that's pretty widely known if it's been around for that long. It's amazing that there are no answers written on my roof. But I seem to be looking out of the water.
I know, we look up and it just doesn't work. It's better to look up than to look down because the people that look down are the cheaters.
Yes, yes, that's true. I have the issue that something gets in your head at the start and you think of that and you can't get away from that. And that is a real struggle. Ajax is what's popped into my head. And that's not the answer, I don't think. I'm trying to think. Sunlight soap?
Unfortunately, Jane, it is not that.
No. Damn it.
This is Barkeeper's Friend.
Oh, and I have heard of that.
Barkeeper's Friend.
It is available here. I have looked at it because I've heard a question about it before.
Oh. Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that because I thought to myself, let's make sure it was sold in Australia, and I double-checked that it was.
Yes, so it's definitely sold at Coles. And because, yes, someone, I think it was on a Discord somewhere, was saying something about it, or it was a question somewhere, and I was like, oh.
And okay. I think you've been listening to too much lockdown trivia because the last episode that aired as of recording is when Jeff missed. He guessed Ajax when it was does. That's probably what happened there. Jane, I have good news and bad news. The bad news is We will not be getting back into our expert categories, but the good news is we can make our score one higher as you still get to go after your Billboard Buster question. So let's finish our game here and get to this clue. I'm going to tell you some, basically a lot of context, and you tell me which artist we're talking about. Here we go.
Okay.
This country singer had no number one hits or even a top 10 hit, but had 28 songs make the Billboard Top 100. Their first album was in 1990, and their most recent album was in 2021.
Okay. I feel like this person has had something since then, but 2021 is 4 years ago. I'm trying to think what year. So Tim McGraw is who I'm thinking of, and I think he gets most of the clues, definitely. Don't think he had any number one, but easily I could say he would have had 28 songs that in the top 100. And I'm just trying to remember the year of his last album. And I feel like it might be more recent, but I don't have anything else to go on, so I'm going to say Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw is a good guess. I just looked it up. I think you undersold Tim McGraw a bit because he had no number one hits. You're correct. But yep. Three top 10 hits and 62 songs show up on the top 100, which
not
is
at all
crazy,
surprised.
By the way, which is yes, crazy, by the way. The correct answer to this is one of my favorite country singers. This is Alan Jackson.
Oh, damn. 2021. What album was, yep, came out in 2021?
You got to go listen to the album. And I will also follow up with you and send you a link to, he just performed at the CMA Awards.
Yes.
And sang Remember When, and I bawled the whole time because he's very old now.
Yes, he has aged a lot.
Yeah. But anyway, Jane, you're going to finish today with 12 points. That being said, you have been among the most fun guests I've had, and I'm very glad you came on. It's 6:53 right now here in the Central Time Zone on a Sunday. What time is it there?
It is 9:54 on a Monday morning.
Well, welcome to the future for Jane Hansen. Jane, do you have anything coming up? Any shout-outs you want to make? Anything going on?
Just my usual shout out that I like to plug everywhere, and that is that I'm a librarian. Libraries are free. There's a lot of stuff happening now, which I can't see having gone anywhere in the next little while. So when this comes out, it's probably still going to be a big issue with funding and things like that in the American Public Library system. It's something we challenged with here as well. Though I think we're in a slightly better place. So for all of the Americans out there, go join your local library. It's free. There's an amazing amount of resources, and it's not just about the stuff you can get there. It's the people that are there. It's the community service they offer. It's, you know, it's a place of refuge for so many. And yeah, so just be kind to one another and support your local public library.
And don't steal the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes, please stop stealing it. You can have it for free for a month. My God.
Jane, you've been wonderful. I can't wait to have you again in the future. And we'll get Caleb back next time. And when he comes back on, I'll let you write a category for him.
I'd love that. That would be amazing.
All right. We'll see you next time, Jane.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks again, Jane, for playing. It was a blast. I do want to say I think that Caleb's category played a little harder then maybe I wrote the other categories, and so the reflection of this episode might be one of taking a look at when guests write categories or questions, as the case might be. In an earlier episode, Joe and Natalie Wirtz, Brandon wrote a question and I wrote a question that honestly were both four key questions, but mine was put in as a three key and his as a four key when they were both very hard. And in this category, I think that Caleb's questions played maybe a little harder, particularly to an American listener or someone not from Australia, because Caleb knew that the subject matter was being asked to another Australian player. I think it played a little harder. So what is interesting about this exercise is to be able to say, hey, this is my player. This is who I am. Do I want lockdown to be a reflection of my ability to write a question, or do I want it to be appropriately difficult for them, regardless of who has to write it? It's something to think about, and it's something that I'm going to consider and explore as we move forward. But Jane, despite her score, was a joy and knew a lot. I think that also maybe she didn't need to go to the bonus keys when she did. It's a strategy and question order choosing thing in this episode, maybe. But she was great. And I hope you guys had a lot of fun with this episode, because I certainly did. Caleb was the first Australian player. Jane is the second. And hey, there's a third that's already recorded. We'll see her in season three. Our bonus question from this episode comes from the Veronica Mars category, and it is this. The creator of what other massively successful TV show that ran from 1997 to 2003 was such a fan that he made a cameo in season 2 of Veronica Mars? While you're thinking of that, I want to thank Jane one more time for coming on Lockdown, and of course invite you to be on your own episode. All you got to do is click the link in the description of each episode, and you can sign up with 4 of your own expert categories. Don't want to play alone? Invite a friend. For cooperative or competitive modes, every version of Lockdown is coming up, so you will be able to hear what that is all about, and I cannot wait for you guys to join me in the fun. The correct answer to today's bonus question is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. New episodes every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. In the meantime, I cannot wait to continue to write, continue to learn, and continue to unlock your brains one key at a time. I was very tempted to write an echidna four-headed penis question and decided not to go that lowbrow. Two keys. I know. I you know what? I didn't know you well enough yet. So next time you're on lockdown, there will be a four-headed penis question.
Awesome. 100%. Love it. All right.